It is September 12th, 2011, on this Monday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Coming up, we're going to interview the director of the amazing documentary film American Dream, Ted Lumpkin. Then, the former head of policy at the U.S. Treasury under Reagan, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, will join us to talk about austerity riots going on across Europe right now, and the fact that an open world government has been announced to be run by private finance oligarchs as the solution to the financial crisis. That is all coming up tonight. But first, I want to get into some of the news. Special note, here in a few minutes, I'm going to get into some information that is late-breaking and extremely distressing concerning the future of our republic. So please stay with us. But first, former U.S. delegate to the Congress has reported that in Libya, he witnessed NATO troops beheading pro-Muammar Gaddafi fighters, an international war crime. And even mainstream media is being forced to report that blacks are being targeted. Walter Fontroy, of course, is a congressman from the District of Columbia. They're called delegates, and the former delegate was believed dead in the last month, but it turns out now that he was hiding because all blacks that are targeted by the Al-Qaeda forces put into power by NATO over Libya are marched out and executed, part of a globalist-sponsored genocide. I mean, you cannot make this magnitude of evil up. 30-plus thousand are confirmed dead, and on top of all of that, Gaddafi forces have actually pushed back some of the rebels. Now, I'm not a fan of Gaddafi, but if I got a choice between Gaddafi and Al-Qaeda with NATO backing them, the choice is pretty clear here. And this is the opposite of a humanitarian rescue. This is a giant destabilization of the entire region. And now, because the establishment has been unable to fully take Libya, they're basically trying to get it out of the front page headlines. So a true tragedy here, carried out by the warmongers that run our country. Now, coming back to the United States and a little closer to home, I was shocked over the weekend to watch coverage of the 10th anniversary of the tragic attacks of 9/11. Not just in New York, but in D.C., in Boston, and Dallas, and L.A. They had checkpoints on highways, side streets, searching citizens' cars, searching 18-wheelers, going through everyone's bags. I mean, this is something out of North Korea or Soviet Russia. This is totally unconstitutional and is the real danger and real threat to society. And the hysteria has gotten so bad that a man and his girlfriend were smooching by a bathroom on an airplane and went into the bathroom for a few minutes, perhaps to engage in the Mile High Club fetish, and they grounded the plane, ABC News reported, and the police came on with guns drawn and said, if anybody gets up or moves, you're all dead. I saw countless stories about old mattresses dumped out of cars, or garbage flying out of the back of a truck, or a cardboard box, and bomb squads, and police, and huge highways shut down. Since when did we become land of the cowards, home of the slaves? You got a better chance of dying from a honeybee sting or a lightning strike than terrorism, even if it was real. But most of it's manufactured and staged. I was watching a newscast, and it showed cops in different cities with their machine guns just in subways. There's a little kid walking by. I mean, how did America get to this point? This is so we just run in fear and say, take my liberties, take my rights. Now, continuing with this information, I want to get to something that, quite frankly, has shook me to my very core. I interviewed the founder of We Are Change, activist and independent reporter Luke Radowski, today on my radio show. And he told me that for the 10th anniversary, he's never seen anything like it. I've been there four times. And you can go right up to about 100 yards away from ground zero, and you can demonstrate or speak out. You want to have a sound device like a bullhorn, you got to go get a permit. And I went and got a permit. And police then still said, you can't, we're going to arrest you. And I said, go ahead and arrest me. And they didn't. I was arrested a separate time for using a bullhorn in New York. But Luke told me today, and we now have video evidence of this, that all over the city, they would have people 10 blocks back from ground zero. And if you had a 9/11 truth or investigate 9/11 or 9/11's an inside job, Infowars.com shirt, that you were refused from entering the major part of lower Manhattan. I mean, this is North Korea. North Korea doesn't even have checkpoints like this generally. Think about this. In America, if the shirt you were wearing the police didn't like, outside of law, criminally, they were barring you from traveling through the city that people lived in. But Luke also told me today, and we've now seen videos confirming this, that they were arresting people everywhere. Some people didn't wear 9/11 Truth shirts, but would get within a couple blocks away where they had public jumbotrons up, where the politicians were there milking the tragedy to set up a dictatorship, and they would arrest people. It is the most absolute, fundamental core Americana right in this republic, but in any other country that has any basis of freedom, to get up on a street corner on your soapbox and speak out. It is the cornerstone. If you don't have the First Amendment, you have nothing. And Luke told me today that he saw multiple arrests and that the video was going up soon. Now, it turns out we're finding a bunch of these videos and people that get up and say it's a crime scene, it wasn't properly investigated, 6 of the 10 commissioners say it's a cover-up, they were arrested and reportedly brutalized. So we want to talk to this man. Reportedly, he got beat up and others got beat up. And I think of the footage of Luke Radowski years ago protesting outside Building 7 and the cops come up, it's in my film Truth Rising, and they say, we're going to say your camera is a bomb and a gun. We're going to put you in jail. We know you're not a terrorist, but if you don't leave, you're going to jail for terrorism. I mean, this is Nazi Germany. If we don't have the right to free speech, it's over, folks. And they're doing this nationwide now. We're going to look at this video. And if you become acclimated to this, just like the TSA sticking their hands down your pants, then America's dead. It's all over. You might as well kiss your whole future goodbye. Because when you give in to corruption, it wrecks the society. Let's go to this clip. I mean, this is literally the death of America if the police don't get in trouble for this. Here it is.
Of the World Trade Center. When will we be allowed to investigate properly the crime that was committed here? When will we honor the victims and the heroes of 9/11 by finding out who did it? When will we be allowed? When will the ideal
of not welcome here?
You're
not fucking welcome here.
Free country. When will we be allowed to investigate 9/11?
Guys, don't play into him, all right? He wants it.
All right, that's enough. They go ahead and arrest him. And you notice that the little supporter of attacking the First Amendment, he was allowed to cuss. He was allowed to get in the guy's face as he was taken away and arrested. And Luke said this went on everywhere. America is dying. And if you're not freaked out by what you've just seen, there's something wrong with you. I've got another news item here about Texas residents must register with police to enter major towns. And the FEMA has banned local firefighters from helping put out the fires. But there's no even, you know what, I've got to go to break. I don't even have a comment after what you just saw. And the fact that that's so normal now to just think, oh yeah, you get drug away to a dungeon. If you're in a crowd, you know, they had a crowd watching a jumbotron. And if you say investigate 9/11 and you get drug away by police and some goon gets in your face and... It's InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be right back.
The establishment called him extreme and unelectable. They said he was the wrong man for the job. It's why a young Texan named Ron Paul was one of only four congressmen to endorse Ronald Reagan's campaign for president, believing in Reagan's message of smaller government and lower taxes. After Reagan, Senator Al Gore ran for president, pledging to raise taxes and increase spending, pushing his liberal values. And Al Gore found a cheerleader in Texas named Rick Perry. Rick Perry helped lead Al Gore's campaign to undo the Reagan Revolution, fighting to elect Al Gore president of the United States. Now, America must decide who to trust, Al Gore's Texas cheerleader or the one who stood with Reagan. Ron Paul, restore America now.
By finding out who did it. When will we be allowed? When will the ideal
be welcome here?
You heard the man say this is a free country as he was drug away and as a supporter of the tyranny got in his face. You're not welcome here, even if that idiot hates people that question the official 9/11 lie. He should defend the First Amendment. If we don't agree upon this, then America is dead. The fundamental right of free speech is so core, and it is so painfully obvious that we're in deep trouble. But it's important to remember who is engineering, who is financing the end of our republic. You see, if the Bill of Rights and Constitution is there, the banksters that are robbing our population will be brought to justice. But if we can be silenced, they can get away with their financial tyranny. Something I want to do here on this nightly news transmission is cover the latest information that's happening. To cover the latest stories and give you our liberty-based, historically-based perspective on it. But to understand where we are currently and where we're going in the future, it is essential, it is integral that we understand the past. I am addicted to history. And when you study the writings of our founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson and others, it is amazing. The very same banking cartel. In fact, some of the very same families that they were fighting against that owned and dominated the British Empire are the groups we're fighting today. And right through to Andrew Jackson, and from Andrew Jackson on into Lincoln, right through to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 to where we are today. And these finance oligarchs are tyrants. So we're going to be talking to Tad Lumpkin, who's one of the amazing creators of the American Dream, really animated documentary that is so entertaining and so accurate and is really a key tool to wake up people who are basically mind-numb sheep who have no idea what's going on. They're not going to read some big, thick Creature from Jekyll Island book or even read a Ron Paul in the Fed book. But they will watch an entertaining 30-minute film. And so we're going to be talking to one of the creators of this here in just a moment. But first, I wanted to play a clip from American Dream. This is a clip of Thomas Jefferson with actual quotes that he had to say about the banking cartel. And then we'll go to our guest. Here's that clip.
Let's not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our choice between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude.
Wow.
I place economy among the first and most important of republican virtues, and public debt as the greatest of the dangers to be feared. It is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes.
We must have a central bank to secure this country's finances.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the very continent their fathers conquered.
Jefferson, you're mad. This country will have a central bank.
Who's that?
America's first Secretary of Treasury.
Alexander Hamilton?
Not for long.
Aaron Burr, Thomas Jefferson's vice president. They didn't take too kindly to our first Sec Treasury.
Sweet shot, Burr. The first attempt at a central bank only lasted 20 years and we shut it down. But the bankers tried again against old Hickory President Andrew Jackson.
You are a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out.
After surviving an assassination attempt, Jackson finally defeated the bank in 1836. When asked what was the greatest accomplishment in his life, Old Hickory replied,
I killed the bank.
And those were his last words. I killed the bank.
And it just gets better and better. Tad Lumpkin is the director of American Dream, because you've got to be asleep to believe it. And we're going to play some more clips here in a few minutes. But this is a masterpiece. Why did you decide to make this? And are you going to make any sequels coming up?
Well, thanks for having me on. We decided to make it primarily for some of the reasons that you touched on. I mean, we feel like we've got to get this message of the Federal Reserve and a lot of other issues out beyond the core constituency who will pick up and read these books and are students of Austrian economics or fans of Ron Paul's or, you know, people who read history and understand what's going on. And so we wanted to sort of take all the things that have been said by, you know, in documentaries and books and things like that, and translate it into a very simple and mass marketable package that people could give their friends who can't quite bridge the gap or won't spend the time to really find out what's going on there. So that's that was our primary motivation, because it's unbelievable the vacuum of good information that's out there and the different avenues to get it out there. So,
well, you're right. Most of it is very dry and academic, but you guys have put it together in an entertaining, funny, but also frightening and very accurate way. Look, we all look for corruption to come in a Hitler outfit with a mustache or a Stalin or a Mao. Societies really aren't good at responding to subterfuge, financial fraud. I think it was Cicero, the Roman philosopher, that said, the enemy outside the gate's not the threat. It's the traitor within. And it's this slow subterfuge. And these banks are waging war. They're the people that lobby for higher taxes so it can be paid to them through bailout. They're the people devaluing our currency. And we see now the very same banking families literally swallowing the euro that they set up as a receivership arm into this new system. And that's why I want to go to this clip breaking down the Rothschilds. I mean, you really go after the central banking house in this film. Tell us about the full spectrum of the documentary.
Well, I mean, what we wanted to cover is we wanted to show people sort of the globalist nature and the progressive nature of how this works. I mean, these people are very patient, and these ideas are very patient, because they're transcendent of generation. And what they do is they progressively implement these things, and they're willing to wait and bide their time and seep in. And, you know, it took them 100 years to get control of the education system, but now they've got it. Now all these people believe this narrative, this certain narrative of history that just fundamentally is untrue, if you go back and study the facts. So we use the Rothschilds because we felt like they really, established, especially as far as the financial and intelligence network, the first sort of interrelated global, information and financial system, where they started in debt nations and people through the power of the state.
That's right. And financing, and people always think about one country against the other. What side are you on? Not the globalist funding both sides to get both in debt. This clip we're about to play shows, like, during a war, giant Rothschild vacuum cleaners sucking both sides' gold up into its system, and that's exactly what's happening. The general public thinks of things as black or white or Coke or Pepsi, this side or that side, not this globalist system manipulating things. And just like a university can be around for 500 years, these mega families have new programs that make them great profits, but over time expand and actually take over all of society.
No, yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, what people need to understand is this isn't Republican, Democrat, or left or right. What it is are you fundamentally, are you for control or are you for liberty? And if you're for control, then what's going to end up happening is we're going to eventually erase all semblance of individual identity and move to a faceless, numbered system where everybody pays into this monstrous centralized bureaucracy and they decide what they're going to do for the greater, you know, in the name of the greater good.
And by the way, that's the stated globalist goal. I'm so glad you are, man. You ought to host the show someday. You've definitely got it. They are waging war against individuality because that can give rise to resistance. I mean, this is a scientific tyranny. And when you really read their writings, once they get us in the faceless system where the family can't stand up for you, where there's no help, they just want to get rid of everybody. These bankers don't like having to see the general public. They've stolen the world through fraud. They believe it's theirs. And they see us as a weevil infestation they want gone. So it really is us or them.
Well, and what's happening too is you see it. I mean, when you look at this stuff and you pull back from these little year to year changes to decade and century changes, I mean, there's a reason why we've moved from local government to state government to now more and more federal government to the creation of a UN, to the creation of larger regional, the push for unions, the push for more singular currencies. I mean, you're seeing right now in Europe, what is the response going to be for this crisis that will inevitably drag Europe down, which if it drags Europe down, it'll drag Asia and us, and there'll be a global financial crisis. And you hear the Germans already talking about to save their EU, they're going to give their sovereign national identity up. I mean, that is absolutely insane.
Well, like, listen, founders of the euro have bragged in major publications that it was always a temporary receivership arm to fully implode countries. Look at Ireland. The biggest success story in Europe, fastest growing, lowest debt. Within 2 months of signing onto the euro, they were suddenly bankrupt, but only because it was an agreement to sign their country over to foreign banks and their Federal Reserve head in the BBC, I must have read this quote 50 times on air, it was so incredible, said, it's good to have Ireland run by foreign banks, we're handing it over. So, I mean, they just hide this stuff in plain view, and now they're announcing this new bank of the world as they bankrupt each country. I mean, I knew 16 years ago they were going to sell derivatives and bankrupt all these nations and do it in waves. And here we are, Tad, and you've made this film that I think of all the films out there is the shortest, the most entertaining, the most focused, that can be literally like a life preserver or a life ring thrown to these people that are just, you know, literally flailing in an ocean of ignorance. That's why we promote the film. We carry it on our online video bookstore at Infowars.com. It's so important for people to get it. I want to play a clip now breaking down the Rothschilds from your film. We'll get your comment on that and then play one more clip. But remember, folks, this is a little over 30 minutes long. They also have a family version because it's got a tiny bit of racy language in it. It is designed to reach out to the brain dead masses. Here it is.
The money machine. There it is. Hey, is that the same people? Rich banker men from Germany flying under the banner of the Red Sheep. They finance both sides of the war. We must hurry. That's him, the Red Shield courier. Shoot him. He beat everyone back with the news of the war and told England that Napoleon won. The Red Shield backers in London pretended that England was doomed and started selling their English stocks. The English went into a selling frenzy to get rid of worthless English money. But it was a trick by Red Shield. They waited until the stocks plummeted to pennies and then bought England back for nearly nothing.
What? They did that? How?
When the English leaders found out, they had no choice but to give themselves over to the Red Shield. Their money was gone, and they were slaves to the Red Shield war debt. Since that time, the English have been paying their national taxes directly to the Red Shield private bankers. The people have no idea.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, get American Dream out to everybody today. It's available in high quality on DVD at Infowars.com. It's free on YouTube. The makers of the film, the director who's here with us, Tad Lumpkin, care about this information, so they're giving it to you. But I hope you'll support alternative filmmaking so they can make future animated, entertaining documentaries to really reach out to folks. Yeah, that's my name, animated educational documentary. I mean, is there a better term to describe what you've done here, Ted?
Well, what we've tried to do is weave in a bit of a narrative documentary. So we got people involved in a character that they could see him go through the journey. You know, in this, it's he's learning along the way. But we tried to do something where it wasn't just a man and a camera. It was sort of like you saw a story and a character arc happening at the same time while we gave this information.
It's a quest. It's a personal journey. It's a Pilgrim's Progress or Frodo going into Mordor, so that people watching it individualize that they are in this movie. And the incredible thing is we are all in your film. This is real. We're under attack. These megabanks are financing eugenics, cancer viruses, and the vaccines, the end of the family. These are real son-of-a-bitch bastards.
Well, I think what people have to understand is, because what you hear all the time is that this point of view gets marginalized as, you know, whack job, wing nut. I mean, they do it. I know they do it to you. They do it to Ron Paul. They do it to everybody. And the thing we're trying to do is we're trying to give people, without diluting the truth and the message of what's going on there, a version where they can psychologically understand this is an agenda. There's a theological and philosophical point of view that says that are we going to have human institutions control humanity? That's where do you get your rights from? Do you get them from beyond this earth, or do you get them from people who run this earth? And I think that's what people got to understand is that there's a philosophical agenda going on that when you drill into what that's there, it's not some weird conspiracy. It's about what these people believe.
Well, look, great point, Ted. I'm sorry, I was cutting you off. Go ahead and say it again.
No, I was saying it's about what these competing philosophies are about, what life is and what it's about, and where, you know, who has the power and who gets the you know, the gratitude, and who's the giver of life and rights. And there's a whole lot of people who have a completely different philosophical viewpoint on that, and that's manifesting itself in the way that the banking system works, the way government works, and the way all these things work. I think at the end of it, there's really a philosophical point of view that overlays the banking cartel, the whole way that we feel entitled to other people's stuff, the way that we our individualism is taken away, and they see life as a collective journey. It's completely bastardizing what is true and real, and what I think is at the core of the human experience.
Ted, I'd never talked to you before. I'd seen a clip of you on the Politano show on Fox, but I'm impressed because you really get it. You're really articulate, probably more so than I am. I hope sometime when I'm out of town, you'll host the nightly news for us via Skype, because you've really got a piercing understanding of this. And think about what a hoax it is, that there's always been subterfuge and Byzantine court intrigue and corruption and Machiavellian manipulation. And somehow in the last 50 years, they taught people that none of that's going on, and it's crazy to even question it. When all the founders, Thomas Jefferson, but other philosophers and historians, that's all they ever talked about. That's all the world's ever been about. I mean, our ancestors in any country, just 50, 60 years ago, all knew this. When I was a little kid, it was always, oh, that crazy old man, he thinks there's a world government and the banks are out to get you. He doesn't trust the system. By the time I was a child, it was the crazy old man, and those folks died off. They were just the common sense normal people that had lived in the real world. And people are going to get the common sense now, because the system has gotten so out of control because we've laid down to it, it's going to hurt us badly. I want to play this final clip and come back and give you the final word. But bottom line, folks, this is a film tailor-made to make learning the truth entertaining and fun. American Dream, get it today. We'll go to this final clip with a classic Jekyll Island meeting. This meeting really happened. Here it is in cartoon form.
I am clearly the richest man, so I should be the one to run the super secret central bank. I own all the oil in America. I'm clearly richer than you will ever be, hula girl. I should run the super secret central bank. You're nothing compared to me, lube job. I shall run the secret bank.
Silence!
Supreme Master Leader, I didn't know you were gonna be here.
I'm not. Neither are you. None of you shall run the bank. We have failed in the past because of openness. This time, the key to success is secrecy. The people must believe that they run the bank.
Yes, brilliant!
We shall christen it Federal. The Federal Reserve.
Yes. They take our property away right in front of our eyes, just like Thomas Jefferson said they would.
What's that?
Oh, they found him. Quick, my sword.
What sword?
We don't need your banking machine. I'll condemn you to die, damn it. Die! Have Vanaki Bogey on my nine. Take him at his knees.
Well, Tad, again, obviously you're great filmmakers, and now talking to you for the first time here face-to-face, and my viewers know I don't just kiss up to folks. I'm really impressed, and it feels good and reassuring to know that there's so many great people like yourself out there and that they cannot stop us together. Our individualism is unstoppable. Ideas are bulletproof. Final comments or points you'd like to make about American Dream as the director?
Well, I just, you know, what I tell people is that the revolution's got to start with a philosophical and point of view first. And, you know, we made this for people who are your committed listeners, who I know that group of people are people who believe in this movement and are frustrated by what's going on. And we made it so that each of your listeners could go give it to 10 of their friends and say, hey, you know all the stuff I've been telling you for years, all the books I've handed you, the Ron Paul, the 300 pages that sit on your nightstand and you never read? Well, just give me 30 minutes to watch this. And we're hoping that that will then spark some type of question in what's going on. Give it to your friends who are adamant, you know, lefties who think that the state is going to cure all their ills, because a lot of it is truly ignorance. They think the government's the good guy and the private sector is the bad guy, when it's like, no, the problem is corruption and collusion and these people hijacking both in this perverted form of you know, pseudo private sector state apparatus that's grown up. And I think anyone who's frustrated when they understand the ideas of liberty and understand that liberty, individual liberty, is what will set you free and will give people the most amount of prosperity and let them live.
And in every case in history, Tad, it's liberty that produces inventions and happiness and empowerment. We are all individuals. We all have different gifts. And the globalists are attacking that. Again, they have this crony capitalistic fascistic system that collectivizes our wealth, then steals it for themselves. It's mega corporations working with big government to shut down their competition. And that idea transcends all this fake left-right garbage. Tad, great job with the film American Dream. I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
Yes, thanks for having us on, and thanks for all your help, Alex.
God bless you, my friend. Amazing work. When's the next film coming out?
Well, actually, we're working on something right now. We have kind of a big idea in store, so we're going to we're almost finished with the script. We're hoping that about a year we can get this thing done.
I would like to talk to you privately and just hear what this big idea is, because it might be something I might be able to help out with.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. I definitely want to get you on the radio so we can have an hour-long discussion. God bless, man.
Love to. You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Wow, it is exciting to talk to people out there. Artists who are focused, passionate, intelligent, and on the move against tyranny. Nothing can stop us together. By the way, if you want to get a copy of it and support myself and their operation and have a good DVD so you can get it out to people, go to InfoWars.com. It's American Dream. We also have a deal with our gold and silver sponsor, Midas Resources, where you get two silver dollars at cost and then free shipping, a free Mark Dice book on Big Brother, Orwellian Takeover, and the American Dream DVD, free on top of it. Look for those banners at the top of InfoWars.com. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come right back to get into what's happening in the economy, what the banksters are currently doing, and we're going to talk to Paul Craig Roberts. Stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
It is a big idea. a new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their Dark Order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
Alex, it's Chalabi.
For the first time, all the pieces have been put together. The dots have been connected, and the picture is crystal clear. Earth's ruling elite believe they have discovered the fountain of youth. But before they can attain it, 80% of us must die. A psychopathic technocracy is establishing world government so there can be no escape from their plan.
The New World Order is the old world order. I mean, it's just the names have changed, the appearances have changed.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
I was pulled out of a plane in Munich. They interrogated me 4 hours.
Some shots were fired.
I need you to move off the province.
Their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Obama is notoriously a liar.
We need to go to where the real architecture of government is, and it's not in a president.
Wall Street has hijacked Washington in broad daylight.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
The elite are using Obama to pacify the public so they can usher in the North American Union by stealth, launch a new Cold War, and continue the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan.
The globalists are outside all the nations. That gives them safety, and they play countries off against each other.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way.
What they're doing is using the existence of the United States to act out their Wall Street fantasies of world domination and maintaining their capital structures and maintaining their system of looting.
The fight that this country has been waging since its inception is for the central bankers not to take over the country.
President Barack Obama is only the tool of a larger agenda.
Senator Obama had a desire to do some meetings. Others have a desire to meet with him tonight in a private way, and that's what we're doing.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama was publicly criticizing the North American Free Trade Agreement in a bid for votes, but privately telling Canadian officials not to worry about it.
If you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military force.
What do you call this thing where you get this false sense of gratification, but because a black man is in office, everything's going to be all right? No, everything's not going to be all right.
So I know how unpopular it is to be seen as helping banks right now, especially when everyone is suffering in part from their bad decisions. I promise you, I get it.
The Obama deception. The truth strikes back. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at Infowars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The American dream. There's a reason they call it a dream.
Who's there?
Cock-a-doodle-doo, pal.
No, 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 no! I don't have any more money! My job sucks right now, please! I'll have more money next month! You can't take my house!
Is that your signature?
It is a private bank owned by private stockholders.
A private bank?
Do not let the name Federal fool you.
If I got this money from the bank, and the bank got it from the Federal Reserve dump trucks, where does the Federal Reserve get their money?
They take our property away, just like Thomas Jefferson said they would.
Those sons of bitches!
It's the greatest theft in human history.
We are in bondage. We are under a financial Ponzi scheme fraud that gives vicious criminals control over our entire society. They're entering the third bailout of foreign banks in Greece. But the bailout itself is a distraction. It's all about a power transfer to an unelected group of finance oligarchs that control the unelected European Union bureaucracy. The Greeks, the Irish, the Icelanders are all rebelling. They don't owe the lion's share of this money. The fight against the globalists that the Irish and others are up against is the very same fight our country has always been up against, as we covered earlier with the director from American Dream. This is the issue. Not football, not acting cool, not dancing with the stars, not Barack Obama reading off a teleprompter. Those people are puppets. It's the banksters. And we stand with the people of Greece and Ireland and Iceland because we're all under the same tyranny. The world needs to unite and have a spirit of 1776 worldwide in defense of liberty. And with more on the economy is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Department of Treasury under Ronald Reagan, also former Wall Street Journal editor, best-selling author, and syndicated columnist. He's also been called the father of Reaganomics. He's here to give his expert opinion on the austerity riots now gripping Greece. Doc, we've been talking about this coming for 3-4 years on the radio, and now they're into the second, third bailout, and it never makes anything get better, but the big mega banks say, just give us more trillions and we'll fix it. And now I was listening to Bloomberg this morning and they said, big banks are going to teach government and the population how to live in their means. I actually heard this, and they said it with a straight face. And they went on, Dr. Roberts, to say that the big mega banks are now going to take over Europe and set up this United States of Europe, and that they're going to fix all our problems. What's your view on that, sir?
Well, I think they would like to have the end of the sovereignty of the members of the European Union, because if they can end their sovereignty, then Greece and Italy and Rome and all the rest, including France and Germany, would lose control over their budgets. They would no longer have an independent budget. There would be a budget made for them by the European Union. And then the European Union government or dictator would also decide how much they could borrow, and they wouldn't be able then to run up these debts any longer. So that, I think, is an implication of the European Union. And I wrote to some months back when the head of the European Central Bank himself, Jean-Paul Trichet, he said that this is the next step, that we're going to take away the financial sovereignty of Greece and of course, eventually all the countries. So I think that is in the cards unless the EU breaks up. It could just break up. The Germans are having a lot of difficulty accepting it. They fear the inflation. that they believe will result from the European Central Bank printing all the euros to bail out the big banks. So we may see a United States of Europe in which the countries become like states. They no longer have the ability to create money. And the governments of those countries just sort of become irrelevant, like most governors of most states in the United States, because the EU will make all the real decisions.
And the very mega banks that engineered the derivatives fraud, that financed the government moves to deindustrialize, they then don't go to jail for the Ponzi schemes like Madoff, but they get even more power. And I know the European banks are all intimately connected to the big U.S. banks. The bailout money goes in both directions. How long can they run this scam where each solution calls for the perpetrators to get more power, and they're calling it a United States? It is united, but under this financial hegemony, do you think they can be successful? Because last week I was watching CNBC and then again listening to Bloomberg on XM and heard this talking point that the problem is democracy in Germany. Merkel has almost lost her place in parliament. She's lost the last two elections, losing seats. Her party can be kicked out of power. And they actually bemoaned that the Germans are starting to wake up. I mean, this is incredible to hear our so-called media promoting financial dictatorship.
Yeah. You see, what the check, if there's a check on it, other than the Germans, perhaps, it's the riots in Greece, in Spain, the strikes in Italy, because as long as they can bail out the banks, they bail out the banks by taking away from the ordinary people. And we've seen from the riots and strikes that this is not easily acceptable to ordinary people. So you could see simply, a revolution where people simply turn on the government and throw it out and begin making decisions that are quite different. So I don't know if, they're not going to be able to continue the bailouts if you've got such a large percentage of the European population rioting. So that is a check, and I don't know how it'll play out.
Well, I saw a report over the weekend that in Greece, most of the shops are refusing to pay the increased VAT to bail out the banks. And in fact, a lot of them are just now refusing to pay any VAT. So I think not paying the taxes in a way is an even better protest when we know the taxes are pretty much going directly to the perpetrators. Now, here's my question to you as a top economist. From my research, it looks like we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. Yes, if we keep going down the path of the finance oligarchs and their crony capitalist system, we're damned. But they have so taken over the system and infected everything that if we don't go down the path of bailing out, that will also cause an implosion, kind of like what you talked about a few months ago. If you don't raise the debt ceiling, we default. But then if they keep going down the path of devaluing the dollar, that's also a technical default.
Yeah. Well, Alex, I actually think that the reason they're having all these troubles is they're not fixing the problem. They're just trying to bail out the banks. And the bailouts can't work because if you suppress the domestic economy in order to create the resources to bail out the banks, then the ability of that economy to support any debt just shrinks further. So that can't succeed. And what they need to do is simply force the banks to restructure the debts to the level that the countries can pay. Now, if that is such a big hit on the banks that they fail, you just let them fail, or you do there what the Fed did here. You print money and give it to the banks. But there's no reason. In other words, you can bail out the banks without suppressing the populations of Greece and Spain and Italy and Portugal and Ireland. you can bail out the banks the way the Fed bails them out. You just print money and give it to them. Or the European Central Bank could just buy directly the debt from the banks and leave the countries alone and not impose these austerity policies on the countries that are producing the riots and strikes and causing the domestic economy to shrink further, thereby making more of its debt unpayable. So the whole thing is mindless. It's a stupid, mindless thing. It serves no interest. This really doesn't even serve the banks.
Well, I was about to say, mindless from the perspective of you want to grow economies and have a good society, your financial and economic view and your life's work. But if you do want to take bailout money and then hoard it and not loan, watch things further deteriorate, then you're able to consolidate the economy. But I think what you're getting at, correct me if I'm wrong, is they've been so good at consolidating and taking a wrecking ball to things that there may not even be an economy to be debt slaves to them.
Well, there are two ways to bail the banks out. One is you go to the debtor country, say Greece, and you say, look, we're going to lend you the money that you can then use to pay the banks. But in order for us to lend this money, you're going to have to sell your ports, your water systems, the state lottery, all the national monuments and the string of protected islands. And we're going to give all that to real estate developers. That's what you have to do in order to get these loans from us to pay off the banks. And furthermore, you got to lay off a lot of government workers and raise taxes on the poor and do all this so that you'll have the money to pay us back. Well, that's insane, because that produces the shrinking economy that can't bear any debt. It produces all the riots and the strikes. And as you say, now they won't even pay the VAT tax. So what is an alternative? The European Central Bank could just simply shut up, not say anything, go to the big private banks that have lent to these countries and say, how much do you think this has to be written off so that Greece can pay it? Okay, and what if you write that much off? Are you still solvent? No? Okay, then let us buy that part of the bad debt that you can't eat yourself. And we won't tell anybody. We'll just take the bonds, and here's a whole bunch of euros that we'll put on your books. Now, that's the easiest way to do it. So it's being done in a way that it's either from stupidity or some other kind of motive that's not obvious. That they're putting all this pressure on the EU itself and producing all of this public uproar and uproar in the financial markets.
Well, undoubtedly, Doctor, I want to hit a few other areas that you've been writing and talking about, but undoubtedly, when you see Paulson come out 3.5 years ago and say martial law, blood in the streets, if you don't give us these unlimited trillions, and then you see the same thing done in Ireland, the same thing being done by the big central bank heads in Europe this week, they are the ones creating the uncertainty. I mean, after Paulson came out and said that, the market dropped almost 1,000 points. It's the same thing. Then they point at governments and the population and say, you aren't doing what we want. Look what you did to the markets. As they're basically terrorizing the markets and holding them hostage and saying, give us a banking dictatorship, get rid of all your sovereignty. I think it's very clear. They are orchestrating this, and they're more than happy to have society.
Alex, let me remind you that Paulson only got $750 billion out of the government. He got $750 billion. That was the TARP bailout. But the Federal Reserve, quietly and secretly, we only found out recently, the Federal Reserve lent the banks $16.3 trillion.
And tried to keep it secret and did for over 3 years. Exactly. Exactly.
We only found out when who released that?
Bloomberg sued them and a bunch of other stuff happened. And by the way, that's only part of it.
Well, but you see what I'm saying is the real money that the banks got was not the TARP money that Paulson was threatening the Congress about blood in the streets. The real money was just given to them quietly by the Federal Reserve. And what I'm saying is that is how the Central Bank of Europe should deal with the crisis there now.
No, exactly. This is a huge issue you've raised, is that they're doing it the hard, long way to basically grandstand politically. So, in your opinion, why are they doing it that way?
Well, one possible reason, and probably the most likely reason, and it's the one we've already mentioned, that Trichet himself revealed, was that they're going to use the crisis in order to take away financial independence of the countries that make up the EU. So Greece will no longer have the politicians in Greece, the elected politicians of Greece will no longer be able to decide public spending and taxing in Greece and borrowing.
The power of the purse being transferred to the private finance oligarchs, to the EU bureaucracy.
Well, it'll be to the EU bureaucracy. And you see, once the bureaucracies get this money, get this power, they can turn on all the private industry.
Well, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And Herman Van Rompuy said that 2011 is the year of the birth of world government. And it's a private, corporate, anti-free market world government. It is absolutely incredible. Now shifting gears, you've talked a lot about police state USA, checkpoints all over the country with the army, full car scanners, driving families under them, TSA behavior. You know, for me looking at it, 9/11 has turned into this disgusting holiday celebrating not land of the free, home of the brave, but a bunch of perseverating ninnies scared of their own shadows. I watch film footage, news footage of police in Dallas, New York, Chicago, you name it, in full battle gear with guns strapped to them, shaking in fear and looking at everyone like they were, you know, I mean, even if terror was real, statistically, you've got a better chance of being struck by lightning or honeybee sting. And then a man and woman make out for 3 minutes in a bathroom. They're clearly giggling and laughing. They land the plane. Police come on and say, according to ABC News, anybody gets up, you're all dead. A box blows out of a truck. They shut down I-35 and panic like it's the end of the world. I feel like I'm living in a twilight zone. What's your view of America 10 years later? Because it looks like instead of it dissipating, it's only getting worse.
That's right. You know, Alex, my view is that all this terrorist stuff is a total hoax. They're not any terrorists. They don't exist. We call the Taliban terrorists because they resist our occupation of their country. But they're not any terrorists. You know, all of the alleged terrorists that the FBI has dredged up over here were products of FBI stings. FBI went out and organized them. And they find deranged people and people aren't too bright, and they offer them money and they say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the people are glad to have the money and they say, okay, and then they arrest them. All of a sudden they're terrorists. This is the only terrorists they've come up with. If there were any terrorists, now just ask yourself, would Richard Pearl still be alive? Would Wolfowitz? Would Donald Rumsfeld? None of these people have Secret Service. They have no protection. If there are all these dangerous Al-Qaeda terrorists, they could very easily take out the whole neoconservative crowd in one day, in 1 hour. Anybody that could pull off 9/11, if we were to believe Al-Qaeda pulled off 9/11, they can exterminate the neoconservatives, but not a single one of these neoconservatives lives in any fear.
Well, what about Rumsfeld in Human Events this weekend? They have an audio interview with him, and he said, you cut defense budget, you'll be hit by terrorists. I saw Cheney 7-8 years ago on Meet the Press, and he said, if you have a 9/11 investigation, there will be a nuclear attack in America. I mean, it's so thinly veiled that they're holding everybody hostage, demanding all this money.
Right, but there's still no terrorists. Now, think about all this airport security stuff. Where did it come from? It came from an underwear bomber, a shoe bomber, and a shampoo and bottle water bomber. Now, think about these plots. Are these likely plots to come from Al-Qaeda, who pulled off 9/11, outwitted every intelligence agency in the Western world?
No, they're mentally ill patsies who were drugged up trying to light their shoes.
Obviously, anybody that can pull off that isn't going to have a shoe bomb that doesn't work, an underwear bomb that doesn't work, or have some crazy stuff about shampoo and bottled water bomb. So it's just not going to happen. And so these things were all, they found some stooge, and they put them up to this. And the bombs never would have gone off. They weren't supposed to go off. They were supposed to cause an incident that they can use for Chertoff to sell tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of porno scanners to American airports. That's what these things are for. If they were a terrorist, he wouldn't be bothering with an airplane. He would simply go into the security line waiting to go through the porno scanners and set off the bomb there. It killed far more people.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Roberts. In closing, I want to talk about your latest book for a moment. But then we were talking off air before we went to you live here, and you were discussing the fact that they had that big 9/11 investigation hearing up in Canada, and I was watching some of the people they had there. These are famous architects that have built 60, 70-story skyscrapers. Some of the prominent names I've heard of, and I'm not into architecture, very distinguished people, and physicists and scientists. And, well, you had a comment about people that call them truthers and laugh at them. So give me your view on that, and then tell us briefly about your War of the Worlds book.
Well, the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement, was created by professionals, architects, engineers, very distinguished scientists, people like, you know, with 60 scientific papers to their credit. And these people, of course, know far more about it than the idiots who run around criticizing them and calling them conspiracy kooks. The people who run around, you know, calling them conspiracy kooks don't know anything. They're not architects. They're not engineers. They don't have PhDs in physics and chemistry. They haven't published 60 papers. They're not world famous. They're nobodies. They know nothing. They're just stupid people. And what happens when they run around and call, see, the trouble is there are a lot of people like me and you, and we're not experts and physicists and all the rest. And a lot of these people shoot off their mouths and they say, oh, Cheney put the explosives on the building and blah, blah. And they don't know anything either. Well, those aren't the truthers. The truthers are the professionals who have the organizations who spent years doing research. And recently they presented it all at hearings in Toronto. There were 4 days of hearing. And the evidence is in. It's massive evidence. There's no doubt that the NIST reports are fraudulent. They're just frauds. The 9/11 Commission report is fraudulent. These are frauds.
Their own commissioners, six of the ten, have said that. And now, I agree with you to an extent. You've had the former German defense minister, former head of their CIA, Andres von Bülow. I interviewed him 9 years ago. He went public and said it was an inside job. You've got, you know, the number three in the Japanese government. You've got the former Italian president.
Listen, before we get in, let's just come back to these experts, scientists, chemists, architects, engineers. They don't say it's an inside job. It's an implication. They don't say anything about who did it or why. They simply say that there's no evidence to support the NIST reports and that all of the important evidence was excluded from the 9/11 Commission report.
So it's more like Galileo arguing with the Vatican.
They're just saying that the explanation is false. That's all they say. Yeah. They don't They don't say anything about it being inside or anything like that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, in closing on that subject, I see it as almost like Galileo going to the Vatican and saying, look, I'm sorry, the world is not the center of the universe. And they're laughing at him and saying, no, yes, it is. And basically trying to lock him up in jail. And I think in the final equation, that's why the official story people are going to fail, because their official story is a fraud. But I'm saying separately from scientists, just with the technicals, you've got former experts, heads of intelligence operations, Italian presidents. You've got people like that saying politically it's impossible, and look at the PNAC document. Then you have folks like myself, before 9/11, being able to analyze media propaganda as a media expert and seeing the conditioning for a terror attack coming and being able to call it. But I do think some of the strongest evidence is just the physics. I agree with you.
Yep.
Tell us about your book.
Well, it's out of print now. It sold out, and I don't think they're going to print anymore. And what the book does is to show that our real problem is the jobs offshoring. It's been going on so long. There's so many now middle-class jobs moved abroad. It taken with them so much consumer income, so much tax base, so many career opportunities, that we now have a very high and permanent rate of unemployment in the United States. We've lost supply chains. There's some things we simply can't make anymore. And this was all done for the short run profits of Wall Street and the corporations. The only people who benefited were shareholders, the CEOs who got performance-based bonuses, some multiple of the salaries, and Wall Street. So they all made more money in the short run and in the process destroyed the American consumer market.
And that's why your book is so important, because it actually addresses the real problems. Now, I know there's an ebook version, though, isn't there still?
Not that I know of. I asked Alexander Coben at Counterpunch to do that, but I haven't heard back.
Well, we need to make sure that happens, but there are certainly copies out there. It's an excellent book. It's War of the Worlds, How the Economy Was Lost. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Roberts.
Pleased to be with you, Alex.
Always great to have you. Well, that's it for InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central. I'll also, of course, see you on the radio /TV, Alex Jones Live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time as well. The websites are InfoWarsNews.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're watching this on a file-sharing network or on YouTube, please spread the clips to everyone you know. And if you'd like to support truly alternative media that's seeking to build a better world, then please subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv. We are not just the alternative media, we are the real media. I'm Alex Jones, signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar.